Father, we just thank you for this word that we're going to be having here today. We thank you for your word that we have written down. It's not just any word that was written down, but they're your word. And we appreciate that, Lord, because there's spirit in there and there's life in your word. And as we go about through the scriptures here today, Lord, I just pray that our hearts are open to receive what it is that you have for us. And you know exactly what each individual needs. That as the words that are spoken here, the Holy Spirit takes those words and molds them into the very words that you need to hear. And I appreciate that. This takes a lot of pressure off of me. And what it does is it puts it all onto you, Lord. Because it's your word and it's your message that you have here today. And we're just here to absorb it and to agree with it. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, the message we have is the whole heart. I told Barb I wanted something different than that initially. And I was telling Tom earlier this morning, and it's like, there isn't a part to it. It's the whole thing that God wants. So to kind of separate it and say, you know, I was thinking like the fruit of the Spirit, which is listed up over here, love, peace, you know, joy, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, goodness, and gentleness. And those things that are spoken that are in there, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It includes all of those. Right? So we can say, well, I'm peaceful, and then that's great. I'm gentle, and that's great. But as far as having the joy, nah, I don't have that. It's not. It's a whole package that you get, and the heart goes along with that too. Now, last week we talked about the heart. This week I'm talking about the whole heart is what we're looking at. And so it's kind of like a continuation of last week where we talked specifically of that God wants a heart where you're seeking Him. And we talked about David versus Solomon and the difference between their hearts, where David was seen as an individual that was a man after God's own heart. And Solomon, who did great things, the wisest man in the world, was considered an evil. Because David continued to serve God, even when he sinned. But Solomon, when he sinned, he decided not to serve God. And that was the difference. And so we're looking at that aspect of wanting to serve God and how we can kind of tie that together and kind of look at it from different ways in different scriptures. Put something in my notes. I don't remember what it was. I don't know. I can't read it. I can't read my own writing there. The whole heart is what we're looking at for the message. So I'm going to be breaking this down, and I put some slides in black with white lettering because I want you to realize that that's not scripture. Right? That's just something that I've got down on here for you. And it says here that according to the Bible, the heart is the center, not only of spiritual activity, but of all the operations of the human life. And if we look at it as a definition of that, so which includes really the soul, and sometimes the soul is incorporated with the heart, and sometimes it's not incorporated with it, but it's looking at the aspect that of who you are, all right, is we're talking about the heart. And when you start looking in terms of the reference to that the whole aspect of your life, like it says, not just the center of your spiritual activity, but of all the operations of your human life. The fact that we're able to walk and where we transport ourselves to. The fact that we can talk and the things that we say with our ability to be able to talk. Right? That's what we're talking about in terms of the heart. And that's what God is referencing. So when we think of it like that, look at Paul's words here when he's talking about what he does with the gospel. In Romans 1, verses 9 through 10, he says, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened up for me to come to you. think about Paul's heart. He says, right in the very beginning of this verse, that he serves God with his whole heart by preaching the gospel. But it doesn't end there. What he's also saying is that with my whole heart, I'm remembering you in my prayers. Paul isn't the type where it's like, yeah, I'll pray for you when I got some time. Okay, that's great. How are we doing today? Oh, you're not doing so well. I'll pray for you sometime. And how are you doing? Oh, okay, you're doing all right. Great. And you doing okay? Oh, all right, great. I'll pray for you guys once in a while. I'll think about you. And something comes up in my head. Yeah, I should have been praying for the Laplatney family because of all the stuff that's going on in their heart. But it's like, nah, I'm too busy to be doing stuff like that. But like for Paul, his whole essence of who he is says that he wants to serve God, and he does it by preaching the gospel and praying for others. Just in this scripture here, he does other things too. He actually, casts out demons, he does miracles, he does all those things. Does it sound more like Paul really is, to me, it sounds like Paul really has a heart for people. And when you start looking at the things that he does in Scripture, it's almost impossible. Right? He gets stoned, and when he gets up, wakened up after the stoning and stuff, which they thought he was dead, he goes right back into the town where he was stoned and preaches some more. How many times was he, given the 40 lashes? How many times was he beaten with a stick? How many times was he wrecked on a ship? How many times did he have people coming after him and wanting to kill him because of what he was preaching? Yeah, his whole heart was into it. His whole essence of who he was, because it's just the way Paul was. It's not that we can separate Paul and his heart. The two of them are together as one. That is Paul. Sometimes we like to turn our faith in God on and off. Well, I can't talk God in front of that group. They won't want me to come back if I say something about God. If I offer a prayer before we start off, and it's like, well, they'll just ask me not to come anymore. So we turn off sometimes our walk with God. I don't think Paul ever did that. He didn't. Well, once he got connected with God in a really close way. And then we look at this here, where Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower, and he talks about the last one where it's thrown on good ground. In Luke 8:15, he says, "But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop." So the soil is an example of your heart. If you've got good soil, right, you'll have a good crop. That makes sense. If there's good soil where the seeds are sown, where's the bad soil? It's not in the field. The field that represents your heart is good soil. Does that make sense? But where's the bad soil in that? There isn't any bad soil. That's the point. Oh, is that? Oh, okay. I thought I was the one that beeped. I didn't realize what was going on. You got it? Okay, thanks. And then click on the white screen again.
Yeah, you're going to bad soil.
Yeah. And so when we're looking at that and realizing that it's not a mixture of good and bad soil, it's just good soil. And I was like, you reference that noble and good heart, that when the seed is planted, it doesn't just wither up and dies, but it flourishes in that soil. And it's like, that's really the expectation that we've got in terms of the whole aspect that the heart is the center of who you are. And everything about you in terms of who you are. How about this one here? The heart is the seat of your conscience. And your conscience is, you know, one of those things like, I really shouldn't be doing that. Well, then don't do it. It's pretty simple. However, we get pulled, you know, one way or the other, and we have this battle sometimes within us, because I think there's a reference to the old self in us, which would be our flesh, you know, we've got some personal desires that are outside God's will. And what we're looking at is here is that the heart is the seat of your conscience. So the heart, which is in Paul's reference here, is that you've got everything, you know, for the Lord, and you do everything for the Lord. And so that ends up being your conscience there. Let's look at this here in Luke 6, 45. When Jesus is talking about, you know, the good trees that produce good fruit, and the bad trees produce bad fruit, and you can't get good trees to produce bad fruit or bad trees to produce good fruit. He says this here. He says the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And I'm, you know, you kind of question this. It's like, wait a minute here. I was just kind of saying that with that good soil, there's no bad soil. So how can we, is it like, are we choosing whether the good stuff comes up? Are we choosing where the bad stuff comes up? And I wanted to try to come up with an analogy that might help you to understand this. And I thought of water. And indoor plumbing. I don't know how we got indoor plumbing that goes along with this, but anyway, this is what we're looking at. You think about your faucet, right? When the faucet is turned off, there's no water coming out of that, correct? But as soon as you open that faucet, water comes out. Now, that water that comes out is clean water. Because that water has been cleaned, it's either through a well or a point, or it comes from the village, whatever it is. But the point is that that's clean water that comes out. The question is, what pushes that water out? But some pump. And I want you to think about, there's a pump in your body. We tend to think of it going boom, 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 like your heart pumps the blood around. But think of a pump that pumps clean water so that when you open your mouth, what comes out is pure and clean things. Sometimes we mix that with bad things that come out of our mouths. So we think that instead of clean water coming through our pump, we have sewage coming through our pump. And then there's times where that clean water comes back out, and then there's times where the sewage starts to come back out again. I don't want you to think of it like that. I want you to think of this. Is that you've got two pumps within inside of you. One pump pumps clean water. The other pump pumps sewage. You get to turn the switch in terms of which pump pumps. The sewage one, that's your own heart. The pump that pumps the clean water, that's the heart that Christ has given you. So if you want to turn a switch and you want the pump to pump good stuff, the only way you're going to get good stuff coming out of you is if you turn on the heart of God. Now, I say that relatively speaking, because God gives us heart. We're going to look at that heart and stuff that goes on there. But the point is that you have an opportunity to share either the clean water or the sewage that can come out of you. And it sounds, I got a drastic change, you know. Sometimes our sewage isn't quite sewage, it's just dirty water. And you're going to say, well, maybe that's not so bad. But it is bad. Because it's from your pump. And your pump can never produce clean water the way Christ can produce it. My friend Sherry Thibault, she's always saying this. It's all about choice. And it really is. In essence, it's like, what are you going to choose? Which pump are you going to choose to run your body? Is it going to be the pump that comes from Christ or my own pump? And God says, you can't get good fruit from a bad tree. Inherently, we are sinful people. Miraculously, God has shown mercy on us and has given us a new heart that we can be considered sinless. And so it's really an interesting way to kind of look at that, right? So what does Joel say? You know, in Joel 2, this is the Old Testament, in verse 13, he says, rend your heart. You know, it's funny. When I first see rend, my first thing that goes to my mind is like, bend your heart. You know, bend your heart towards God. But that's not what rend means. Yeah, it means to tear your heart apart, right? Tear that old pump apart. Take it apart bolt by bolt if you have to. So that you only have one pump running. Right? He says, rend your heart and not your garments. And it goes back to, you know, this aspect that I was talking with the kids. Don't just make yourself look good. You've got to have a heart for God. Not just a body for God. And it's like we have this aspect in here, and Joel speaks about it. Well, Joel has been speaking about it since, you know, way back when, thousands of years ago. Probably the hearts of man really haven't changed much since then. So the things that he's saying right now really are pretty important for us right here and right now. He says, rend your heart, tear it open, tear it apart, right? And not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and He relents from sending calamity. Like, shut off your pump of bad stuff that comes out of this sewage that we try to think that we can make good. But it just never seems to be much of anything that's all set up in there. And we look at that aspect of this whole thing about our heart, that it is our conscience. Our conscience should be to do the will of God, and we need to do whatever it takes to do the will of God. Because that is what is important in our life altogether. How about this one here, the statement that says, the heart is the home of the personal life, and hence a man is designated according to his heart. We're hoping it's going to be wise, pure, upright, righteous, pious, and good. But we all know that our personal lives are sometimes different than our public lives. There's the whitewash stuff that we're talking about.
Bad cholesterol.
It's always the bottom of everything that's a problem is cholesterol. But the point is that we're making here is that you should be the same in your personal life as you are in your public life. God doesn't change whether you're home or whether you're in public. You are the same either way. And now if everybody saw you in your private life, would they think the same of you? The answer to that is no. Why? Because we're all like that. There's things that we always try to hide from other individuals. There's things that we do sometimes that just do not look good on our forefront. We don't air, you know, the things in our closet out on the front porch because we all have garbage. We all have baggage. I get that. But in this case here, we're looking at, you know, what is the home of the personal life. And it's representing your heart. Your heart doesn't change whether you're private or public. Why do we act differently then sometimes? Because we're switching what pumps we try to use and just try to cover things up here. And let's look at this here. And Paul speaks about that in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. He says, a man is not a Jew if he's only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. And so circumcision, as you know, it's a very private thing. It's a removing of your private flesh. And it's done when you're fairly young, right? He says no about all that. A man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. See, Paul even spoke about it back then. He says, you can be a Jew on the face of things, but are you a Jew inside? We can be a Christian on the face of things, but are you a Christian inside? Because when we're on just the face, we're trying to please the people around us. But when we're a Christian, a believer, a true believer, inside our hearts, right? We're not trying to please anybody out here. We're trying to please God. But guess what happens? People around get blessed because of that. And it's a natural thing. And this is what Paul is saying. It's like, it's not something that we work for. It's something who we are as Christians. We are circumcised of the heart. Not because of things that, okay, I'm going to give up this. Barbie, you were mentioning that about giving things up and stuff. It's not about giving things up. It's about giving things to the Lord and wanting to be able to do that. Our walk with God and that path that we have and the things that we encounter on the path are all things that can encourage us to get closer and closer with God over and over. And the things that we used to bother us when we were younger, or even if it was just a weeks ago, all of a sudden become fairly dim to us because it doesn't matter anymore. I've got something else that I've chosen to be more important than that garbage that has always drugged me, pulled me down and drugged me with this world and carried me into a place where I didn't want to go in the first place. He says, not by the written code. It's not by law. We don't come to church and we have to dress a certain way and you have to, you know, like the women back in the day where they used to wear hats and the bigger the hat, the more Christian you were. And that stuff is crazy. You know? I loved it so much when Gary Hall came in and he was wearing his coveralls because I didn't have time to change. He was doing something. I'm like, that's awesome that he came that way. I just really appreciated that. Right, he wasn't trying to be someone different at that time. It was really, really kind of neat. And then he says this here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. What's an overseer? Anybody know?
Like a pastor.
Like a pastor, yeah. Like someone that's leader, a leader. A leader of the flock, if you want to call it that. Right, he desires to be of a noble task. Can anybody be an overseer? Well, it should be Spirit-led. Right? I'm going to tell you why it has to be Spirit-led. Because I'm going to read a little bit more about what that says to be a spiritual leader. So that was verse 1. Let me read verse 2 and a little bit longer than that. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone doesn't know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? And he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's traps. Wow. Anybody here want to be an overseer?
No.
There's a huge list of things that go in that. So every morning I have this checkout box. Am I respectable today? Am I, you know, gentle in my words? Am I able to do all of these things that's mentioned on there? And I check myself every day. No, I don't do that. No. What it's saying is, that is the individual you need that has a heart for all of those things just to come natural to them. Why? Because they need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, guess what? We're all kind of overseers. That's not just on me or on other pastors, you know, in the area churches and stuff that's here. That's on you as well. Because you are God's overseer when you go to a place of work. You're God's overseer when you go to your family gatherings. And when you're just by your spouse, if you have a spouse, you're the overseer of that. And all of these things need to be true. And it's not that, I mean, we learn, we make mistakes, and with God's guidance and stuff, we grow. We grow in His Spirit, and we allow the Spirit to kind of, you know, be manifested. And when that Spirit is manifested in an individual, it tends to permeate to the people around them. And when all the people are permeating God's Spirit, it's amazing what the church can do and how the church can be, because we're all in unison with one another. We all have the same goal. We all have the same aspects of what's right and what's wrong. And you can see how all of this is tying together in terms of an individual needs to have their whole heart into God. Not just part of their heart. It doesn't really work that way. And so it's in God's eyes, it's kind of black and white. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean that we strive for everything that God has. How about this one here? So the hardness of heart, which we hear about in Scripture, especially Old Testament with Pharaoh is a good example of that. But there's others where the Jews themselves ended up with a hardening of their hearts. All right, and it says that the hardness of heart evidences itself by light views of sin. What that means is, oh, sin's no big deal. It's not that bad of a sin. Seriously, everybody sins. So, okay, if they do, then what's the problem? It says here that partially acknowledgement and confession of it. And that just means like, well, yeah, I sin sometimes. And I'll admit to certain sins. But there's other ones that I'm not going to admit to because I don't think I'm right. Just ask me and I'll tell you. And it's that kind of concept that we have. Ingratitude, unconcerned about the word and ordinances of God, inattention to divine providences, stifling convictions of conscience, shunning reproof, presumption, and general ignorance of divine things. Isn't that just backwards of what I just read in 1 Timothy? You either have good fruit or you have bad fruit. Either the pump is running and you've got sewage coming out of it, or you have the other pump that God is pumping, and you've got that pure water coming through. And that's that which really, really kind of pulls us in there. So let's look at this here. In Acts 28, 27, it says, "For the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Think about this. These are the words from Isaiah. I think it's chapter 6 when he spoke these things here. Right? Again, going back, our hearts of man really hasn't changed over time. We tend to think of this, well, we've evolved to be a better human race and stuff. We're no different than what we were back then. We're human, and it's the way God has made us. But look at this. It says, the people's hearts have become calloused. Question is, were they made callous? What allowed them to become callous? Well, they decided to turn on their own pump. They decided that their innermost being was going to be run by themselves, and they were going to neglect God in that picture. And that's the point that we've got here, is that it looks like, from what this is saying, is that the people's hearts could have been uncalloused. But they chose to be calloused. And then this one here in Acts 8, 20 through 23, there was an individual, Simon, who was an ex-sorcerer who impressed people with all of his little magical sort of things. And then he came to know the Word of God. And then he saw the laying on of hands on individuals, and he saw them being filled with the Spirit. Now, how do you see an individual filled with the Spirit? What does that look like? Because you don't physically see, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, there's a drain, things coming out of their toes, and then something going into the top of their head. You don't see that sort of thing. But you see all of a sudden that individual changes. There's a life in them that wasn't there before. There's a continence of love in them, and the ability for them to be able to show that love just naturally. They're different than what they were before. He says that's being filled with the Spirit. And as this guy Simon could see that, and he goes to these individuals that were laying the hands on, he says, how much would it cost me to be able to do the same thing that you're doing? Because I want to impress these people too, just the way you're impressing them. Right? He wanted to buy the ability to do God's work and not have it inside of him. He wanted that exterior look. And look at the response that Peter had for him. He said, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. You just want something that's going to make your sewage look cleaner than what it really is. And what Peter's saying is, no, that's not going to happen. You're not going to have any part of this ministry because you are full of sin. You're full of sewage. And though you have accepted Christ, your heart is not right before God. You haven't humbled yourself. You haven't got to that point where you've got to just recognize who God is and who you are. Start comparing those two, and there's no comparison at all. And yet this guy Simon was looking for just to being able to impress people. And Peter called him out. How about this one here in Obadiah, verse 3. He says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. And you live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights, who you say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Those are bad words. Right? You know what they say? The bigger you are, the harder you fall. God knows where you stand. And if you start looking at yourself and starting saying, well, I'm much better than them. And there's only a couple people better than me, so I'm going to be one of the top 5% Christians in this world. It's like, no, you're not. I can tell you right now, nobody is. There's nobody. You don't have that in the Christian world. There isn't anything. There's only one supreme being, and that's God, and we are His children. End of story. Right? There's no ranking in Christianity and stuff like that. We're all the same. In the sense that we're created differently. We all have our own different gifts. But we're all children of God, loved intimately by God. And God wants nothing more than for us to come to know Him. For Him to be our God, for us to be His people. But when we have this pride in the way, right? That's the unrepentant heart. That's where we're saying, my pump is going to run, and God's pump is not going to run.
How simple is that? Am I still...
No. Shut your pump off.
I know.
Hey, Mike, while you're doing that, can I share some quick words of wisdom that go along with this?
Yeah, of course.
There was an old Indian wise man who actually gave an example of this. He said, we have two wolves living within us who are always fighting each other. One's a good wolf, one's a bad one. So when he was asked who wins the battle, he said, the one that wins the battle is the one you feed the most.
Yeah, I remember you saying that before, and that's actually perfect for what we're talking about here. All right, let me go on to what we've got here. All right, in Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 through 27 says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. All right, we've looked at this before. And it's true, is that on our own, there's no way we're going to be able to get our pumping clean water. It's always tainted. Oh, it was something that's in there. And God knows that. That's why He said He's going to make it a way where He's going to remove your heart and put in His heart. The question is, are you willing to let God do that? Are you willing to have Him do that surgery to remove your heart? That means that it's His will be done, not your will be done. Because if we choose to accept God's heart, that means that the soil is good soil. That means that the fruit will be good fruit. But if we decide not to accept God's heart, in God's eyes, then that's bad soil producing bad fruit. Right, and there isn't much room in there for being able to do God's work, other than just what we can do on the surface, be that whitewashed individual that's there. Which leads us to this. It says the process of salvation begins in the heart by the believing reception of the testimony of God, while the rejection of that testimony hardens the heart. You see, really, that is what salvation defines. Accepting to take the heart that God is willing to give you. And that's the one that's fed by God in you. So that the old heart, the old man's heart, the one of stone, doesn't do anything. It's dead. It's gone. It doesn't mean anything because there's no life to it. But without a heart to be able to accept God, even in the first place, right? We can't even accept God in the first place, right? I liked it when I heard this for the very first time. It just like kind of hit me in the head and it's like, oh, that's really cool. And it was just a stupid statement, but it says, I didn't choose God. God chose me. And because God chose me, God chose you, we have that opportunity in which to accept Him. And because He chose me, He made a path, a way in which I could choose Him. But had God never chosen me, there would be no way for me to even get close to God or to understand Him at all, because I wouldn't be accepted, period. So I like that statement where He chose me versus I chose Him. And through that action, it was there that things made a difference. In Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved." You can say all you want, but if you, like it says here, that if you don't believe from your heart, it means nothing. It's just a bunch of words. It's like we read books, you know, and we like, "Oh, that was a really nice book. It had, you know, meaning to it and everything. It kind of got me thinking about something." But when you read Scripture, there's something in Scripture that's more than just the words. And it's not that it's hard to explain. It's just that they're Spirit-filled. They're filled with life. They're filled with an opportunity to shine God's Word wherever you go. And it's like that if we have God's Word in us and we believe that His Word is an absolute truth, that God's promises are true, then we live our lives differently. The things we say differently, because they're under the authority of God and they're under the things that God has done for us. That's why I love about personal testimonies, because they just mean so much to me in the sense that, yeah, God has touched you. You can tell just by the way you're giving your testimony. It means so much to you. And that you don't have to have it written down on a piece of paper to read, because it's just there. You know, and I get that part. I love that. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, he says, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments." Right? You're not going to be convinced because of what someone has said. You're going to be convinced because God is in you. And you know God. You hear His voice. And that supersedes any voice on this earth. Any voice. But then look what Paul is saying, though. He says, "My purpose," right? My whole heart is to believe in God and spread that gospel so that all know who God is. So that your heart is like that as well. It's full. Your whole heart is serving God. Not just part of it, not just knowing that there's a God out there. That doesn't really do anything. But when it touches your life and you are moved to do things outside of your comfort zone because God and the Spirit are pushing you along, and you're resisting some, and then eventually you have to succumb to it because you just know what God is saying to you, and then you do it. And I like that in a sense that when we are full of the Spirit, that there's a unity within us, because the world is out. One God, the Father, one God, the Son, and one God, the Holy Spirit, bring us together as one, because we are under His church, right? We're just a mini church of His church. And so all Christians, when they come together, and it's really, really important to be able to emphasize that. I've got this one here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being," right? In who you are. Not who you want to be, but who you are. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," now don't forget, who is love? But God is love, right? may have power together with all the saints, those saints are you and me, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You are so filled with God that there's no room for evil within you.
Amen.
Seriously. That's what God wants for you. He is all of Himself willing to go into you, if you want to call it that, and that you become a reflection of Him in every aspect of your life because you allow Him to do that. That's putting your whole heart into it. And there's no fear because God is there. It's pretty powerful stuff when you start thinking about it. There's so many times that we are tiptoeing around the ability of allowing God to be in us because we only want so much of God. It's really what it comes down to. We want to retain ourself and make choices for ourselves, and it's hard to let go of that. But when you actually get to the point of allowing this stuff here to happen, you're going to find out you're going to be just the same individual as what you have, your same desires, or well, I won't say that. I want to say you're still going to have your personality. God's not going to take that away from you. But it'll be a personality that will please not only the men around you, but it will please God. It's so good to be able to see that and to know the Scripture validates everything that we're talking about here. In Luke 10:27, I want you to think now in terms of what this means. It's mentioned in other Gospels as well. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." I hope that has a deeper meaning to you. What God wants for you. You have a choice to open up your heart. You have a choice for God to circumcise your heart. You have the ability to be given a new heart. And that's what God is willing to give. And it's beautiful. It really is. Dwell on these words. Dwell on God. He wants so much more for you than what this world can give. Why would we hang on to the world and the stuff that it has? Father, I just thank you for this word here. I thank you for this time. I thank you that we can come here before you humble, seeking, and you are here to touch us. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody here that is touched, not by my words, not just by things that are put up on the screen, but they're touched by the Spirit of God, I pray that you continue to reach that person, that they grow in your Spirit, that the heart is no longer callous, but the heart is made of flesh, and it's alive, and it's glowing with the love of God in it. And Father, I pray also for those that are just that want to recommit to God. And it's not just that you're becoming a Christian again and again and again. It's just that you want to get deeper. Want to get more. I need more God in my life. I pray for the Spirit to come upon us, Lord. To come inside of us. To dwell there. To give us the things that we need. The faith. The words. The actions. That can glorify you in all that we do. I pray this through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.